Brethren, I'd first of all like to discharge a responsibility I was given when I left Jamaica a few months ago. And that is, I should take the love and greetings of the brethren in Jamaica as a whole, because there was a conference just previous to leaving, and also from my local assembly in Montego Bay. And so I would bring you their love and greetings. Another thing I'd like to say is I thank you very much for your expression of love, and as you would pray quite often for my wife, who is ill. Well, she is not really, I don't know how you put it, she is not bedridden, but she has been diagnosed with a lump in her thyroid and a cancer of the lymph node. Many tests have been done at the hospital in London, and they also have to do an MRI, which will be about the middle of the month. I think it's either the 15th or 16th. And they are also doing some more blood works to determine what really is happening and what sort of treatment they should do. But one thing they have said is that they need to remove the lump in the thyroid. And this, they say, they should do in a matter maybe in another 3 months or so, depending on what they see. Because after the MRI, they will have a conference, they said, consultation, and it will determine what they would like to do. Mm-hmm. We thank the Lord that He allowed us to be here, and that it was discovered here, and because they have been going very thoroughly in investigating what there is and what should be done. And so we would ask that you would continue to bear us up before the Lord. I'm scheduled to leave on the 10th of October for Jamaica, which so far I still see that I should be going, but she will remain in London depending on what the doctors say and what needs to be done. And so I ask that you would bear us up in your prayers. We've had a very lovely conference, a time together where the Lord has brought us many challenges. And I'm sure as we would think about many of these things, we would be thinking of our own response to them. What will our response be when we leave from here? Our response in relation to these things that we have taken up, because they're not just there for history, they're not there for our intellectual enjoyment, but they're there to affect our lives. As we saw, Elijah was affected. They're there to affect our lives. And it is for us, indeed, to make some sort of response to them. And the response has to be between me and the Lord. Not to anybody else, but between me and the Lord. Because the Lord sees everything. And He knows everything. And I think after having given us such a profitable time, He's expecting a response from us, those who love Him. I'd just like to look again at Haggai. We have looked at it already, but I'd like to look at it again at a different, from a different point of view. Haggai is only 2 pages in my Bible. I can hardly find it. I miss it every time I go over it. In Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Know therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, and bring wood, and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it, and be glorified, saith the Lord. If we look at verse 13, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. On the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of King Darius. Then chapter 2, verse 4. Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. In verse 9, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. And then verse 17, I struck you with blight and mildew and hail in all the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. And just the end of verse 19. From this day, I will bless you. Here we have the Lord's messenger, and the word of the Lord came by him. And the concern was that Israel, that they were looking after their own business, their own affairs, and they did not give priority to the Lord's business and the Lord's affairs. They had separated their affairs from the Lord's affairs. And so the Lord's things were left lying in waste while their affairs were progressing very well. At least, so they thought. But in the progression of their affairs, we see that what they ought to have reaped, they were not reaping. They had sown much, but the yield was little. They drink, but were not filled. All that they were gaining from their looking after their own affairs, all that they thought they would have been gaining, if they were not getting the yield that they ought to get. And it brings to us in a very vivid way that we need to seek the things of the Lord. You see, Israel, they had a good beginning Judah and Benjamin. When those who had returned from the captivity, those whom Cyrus had allowed to come back, they were given permission to come and to build the temple. And in Ezra chapter 3, we read that they came. They were afraid of the people around. Their action was not that they would now build a wall or set up protection for themselves from the people around. What they did, they built the altar of the Lord. And they set it on its foundation. And they offered burnt offerings, the morning and the evening offerings. They were concerned for that which would give the Lord pleasure and delight. So the people around, they were afraid of them, but they were not now setting up themselves and protecting themselves from these people. Their concern and what they did was that the Lord would have his portion, that the Lord would be delighted, because it is his delight. When the offerings were made, it was a sweet savor offering, an offering for his delight and for his pleasure. And this is what they had done. But continuing, we see that there were obstacles in the way. The people sent letters back and forth, and in the end, someone did not really research and see what was the authority that was given to them at the beginning. And so, with all of this, what they did, they stopped the building. Now, it brings out to us somewhat. It seems that after having offered to the Lord and continuing in that way, that their progress was that of just meeting, but their hearts were not in it. As soon as there was some opposition, they were willing to put it down. It means that their hearts were not in it. And sometimes we meet as believers, we have fellowship, we enjoy the fellowship together, and we enjoy what is happening, the things of the Lord, to some measure, but we're doing this because we're enjoying it. Where is the Lord's pleasure? Are we concerned that the Lord is receiving his pleasure? That he is being given that which is his? Because if that is what is motivating us, then we will not be sidetracked by other things. Many times we seem to think of what the Lord has done for us and what he is doing for us. But I have recently been very impressed, when I say recently, last little while, with the fact that it is not what I enjoy, but it is what God enjoys. That is what ought to motivate me. Because I had nothing to do in being brought into this relationship with him. It is by his grace he has brought me. He gave his only begotten Son to come and to die on the cross of Calvary. He has called me. I had nothing to do with it. And so my concern should be, what is his pleasure? What is his delight? This is what, at the beginning, this is what they were concerned with, that which was God's delight. And why was it God's delight? Because it spoke of the death of Christ. The Lord Jesus, the one in whom he has his pleasure. In eternity, we read in Proverbs chapter 8, that I was as one brought up with him, and daily his delight. And of course, at the baptism, and at the Mount of Transfiguration, the New Testament, we read, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I've found my delight. And this is his delight. There's nothing that gives him delight like bringing to him the Lord Jesus. The death of Christ. His moral glories while he is here on earth. All of these, the Lord could have said, I do always those things that please the Father. My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And this is what he delights in. And so as we have been looking at Elijah, as we have been looking at what was happening in Israel, as we have looked today of that wonderful portion where the Lord Jesus has been brought in, where Elijah is taken up, we have to see also that in these, and we had mentioned it, that it was the delight of God. And this is how they started, but things went downhill, because the heart was not for the pleasure of God, but for the benefit of man. They benefited. So they are here in the land, and they had stopped building the temple. But then I need to look after my own affairs. I need to have my house well built. I need to put together my farm. I need to do things that are going to benefit me while I'm here. And many of these things are things that are, they're not evil, but they are not things that are going to bring glory to God. There has to be the giving to him the priority of place. He must have the preeminence in all things. And so the Lord would say, consider your ways. And he would say it to each of us, consider your ways. We're at the conference. We come, we enjoy the fellowship. We enjoy listening to the word. But has it penetrated to our hearts that when we leave from here, or even before we leave, there is that determination that this is what pleases the Lord and this is where my occupation ought to be? Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain. That is a lovely instruction of grace. Go up to the mountain. And we see in scripture many times, going up to the mountain, it speaks of our communion with God. Fellowship. Go up to the mountain. There you have, we read of the Lord Jesus, many times we read of him going up into the mountain alone with the Lord. There he would pray. There he would be in communion. And there when he comes down, we find that he would act for God. And this is where we see Moses went up into the mountain. Abraham went up into the mountain so that he could pray, he could worship. It was there that he was told to offer Isaac. And it was there we see that he had communion with God. Go up to the mountain and bring wood. So we find, one, there is communion. There is giving to the Lord that which is his due. Hearing from him. Giving to him and hearing from him as to what he would have us do. Because it is only by his word and by his spirit that he has given to us that we can please him. We cannot please him by listening to his word and then bringing to it our own interpretation or our own action that we feel is right in relation to his word. No, it has to be by the Spirit of God. We cannot worship. We cannot give to God that which is for his pleasure, but by the Spirit of God. Go up to the mountain and bring wood. And I do think that this mountain would speak of Lebanon, because that is where the wood came from to build the Solomon's temple, the cedars of Lebanon. And how these speak to us in different ways. It speaks to us, first of all, of the Lord Jesus. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, we read that he's excellent as the cedars. Excellent as the cedars. In his life here, he is excellent. In Hebrews chapter 1, we read of the excellencies of Christ and the things and the glory of his person. These should impress our hearts. The excellencies of Christ. It also speaks to us of the death of Christ. The wood, the death of Christ, that which he has accomplished for our redemption. We did say in some of our comments that recovery must begin at the place of departure. And I think this is what we have here. The death of Christ and the person of Christ, these are the things that would impress our hearts and our thoughts, that would bring us back to that point where we would be in a condition to give to him that which is his due, the death of Christ. And for them to get back to this position, they have to be considering again the death of Christ. What it meant, what did the Lord Jesus do to bring us? Because unless we would go back to that point and appreciate the work that Christ has done, what he has effected by his death, then we will not be in the condition to give our all to the Lord. Because in effect, that is what it is. We have to give our all. God does not work in half measure. We cannot give him some of the glory and give to the things of the world some of the glory. No, he says he's very jealous, and this was mentioned in our study as well. My glory I will not share with another. And that is what he says. And we have to keep these things in mind so that as we would seek to serve him, to do the things that are pleasing to him, as we would seek to be used for the delight of the heart of God, we must seek to give him what is his due. He's excellent as the cedars. He is for the pleasure of God. And these two things will bring us back to that point. The sealed houses, paneled houses, while the temple lies in ruin. How is the house of God today? In the administration of men. How is it in my area? Am I being used of the Lord to bring out that which is for his glory? Or is it a place where I feel nice when I gather with other saints? I think these are things we really have to ask of ourselves. Because there is a reward in seeking to serve the Lord according to his way. First of all, we are not left alone. In verse 13 he said, I am with you, says the Lord. If it is your desire to serve me according to my word, I am with you, says the Lord. And then he said, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all you people of the land. I am with you. And that's what we have in verse 4. Encouragement from the Lord. The Lord does not leave us to find our way through all the toils and turmoils and of this life. He gives encouragement and he shows us the way. And he tells us that he is with us. And we do not have to be weak. He says, be strong. And he's not saying you should be strong. It's an imperative. Be strong. Because he is the one who gives the strength. And we see that there was a response. The people began to build again the temple. And what a joy for the Lord. Because the same God who said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I am about to do, when he was about to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, he took Abraham in his confidence and he told him what was going to happen. It is the same God here who said to the people, I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. It is one temple the Lord speaks of. As was mentioned, I will fill this temple with glory. And that is taking them into his confidence and bringing to them again that which was going to happen at the end. He will shake all nations. That is true. And we have that in Revelation. We also have it in some place in Zechariah. But he said to them, I will fill this temple with glory. And that glory, he says, will be greater than the former glory. And that is the temple where the Lord Jesus will preside. It will be filled with glory. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Today and in those days in Israel, men looked for peace, but there was no peace. In this world there is no peace, and there will be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes and establishes his kingdom. And here we find not only are they now enjoying the presence of God and partaking in that which is the delight of God, but God has brought them into the enjoyment of that which is to come, so that they can look at it and say, whatever happens here with this temple, we know that the temple of God will be more glorious than any that has been seen, and God is going to reign. Peace is going to reign in that temple. And so there is no need to be concerned. There's no need to be building my own thing. There's no need to be setting up all kinds of structures and things on this world, because it all will be burnt up. It all will be shaken. It is only that which is for the glory and pleasure of God that will be lasting. Beloved, may we, as we think on these things, may we allow our own hearts to be exercised and to seek the glory of the Lord at the expense of our own pursuits. May the Lord help us in these, first name's sake. Amen.